Okay, Ray, God bless you. Welcome. Thanks for teaching God's word. You're on.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me, Bob?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, my name is Ray Braska, and my wife, Gail, and I live in Murrieta, California, near Temecula. And we typically attend Ralph and Sandy Johnson's fellowship in Escondido. And I'd like to thank you, Bob and Jeannie, for the opportunity to share God's word today on the subject of the harmony of the Gospels.
Hmm.
And speaking of the Gospels, I don't know if you're familiar with the elusive Christian Confucius, but I recently went on a search for him up to the Holy Mount of God. I had to search high and low, far and wide. And when I finally caught up with him sitting there, I said, "Oh, wise one, what pearl of wisdom do you have for me today?" And so he looked at me with his beady little eyes and his Fu Manchu. And as he was stroking his little foo, he said to me these amazing words of wisdom. He said, "Christian Confucius say, a gospel a day keep the devil away. Take regularly." It's okay to laugh. Anyway, most people, when they think of harmony, they think of something soothing, like the blending of sound as in music, or as in the art world, the mixing of colors working together in a way that just flows beautifully. A biblical definition of harmony may be something like an arrangement of the Gospels or any parallel narratives which presents a single continuous story. Another way to put this is putting together a fuller story by piecing together the parts of the Gospels regarding a specific situation or incident. Similar does not mean identical. For example, if you went to an In-N-Out, say, and got a number 3 combo on Monday, and then on Tuesday, you got a number 2 combo, which is just a number 3 combo with cheese, it wouldn't be the same. Might be similar, but they're not identical. Plus, you ate them on a different day as well. So we have to be exact when we're talking about studying the different harmonies of the Gospels, going through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John regarding particular situations in the Gospel. And that's why we have to watch time and place, nouns and pronouns, things of that nature. Some of you may be familiar with how many were crucified with Christ, or the number of times Peter denied the Lord. But today we're going to talk about Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Therefore, please go to Matthew chapter 21, starting with verse 1. It reads, Matthew 21, verse 1. "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem," this is the King James Version, "and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say," verse 3, "aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he shall send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, and we're talking about the prophet Zechariah, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded, and they brought the ass and the colt. So they were two different animals. One was a donkey and the other was a colt of the donkey, a little one. And put on them their clothes, and they set him or Jesus on the clothes of one of the animals. And a very great multitude spread garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and straw them in the way. And the multitude that went before, verse 9, and followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. I'm just going to go through some key parts of each of these sections in the Gospels. And basically, if you could just note that in chapter 21 of Matthew, Jesus said that they'd come across a donkey and a colt that's with her. And Jesus rode on either the donkey or the colt, one of the two, and rode towards Jerusalem. And what happens a lot of times, I know in the King James Version it's called the triumphal entry, but does it relate to the same situation or similar situation in Mark chapter 11, verse 1? Well, let's read and find out. Mark 11, 1. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, now two cities are mentioned, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as you be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. Isn't it interesting that in verse 2 it only talks about a colt that's tied up? And if in verse 3, if any man says unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And when they went their way and found the colt tied by the door, one animal, without in a place where two ways met, sounds like an intersection, and certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye? Why do ye loosen the colt? So this time, either standbyers or the owners of the animal asked, what are you doing? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. It was okay for them to take the animal. It's kind of like maybe a car today. A colt back then would be like us having a car today and then somebody just jumping in and starting to take off in it. You'd probably say something, wouldn't you? Well, that's how important a form of transportation was back in 2,000 years ago. All right. Verse 7, and they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments upon him, and he sat upon him, and many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and straw them in the way. And then they go on to proclaim, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Well, these are two very similar situations, I would say. It's easy to mistake that this might have been the same as what we read in Matthew chapter 21. But really, in Matthew chapter 21, it was two animals. But in Mark 11, it was one. So we have a discrepancy here. And so when there is a discrepancy, we have to check two things. And that is, one, check our understanding. Are we reading it correctly? Understanding it the way we're supposed to? Or two, is the discrepancy due to a mistranslation of somehow? Well, I don't think it can be any clearer that in Matthew it was one animal, and in Mark it was two. Let's keep reading. Let's go to Luke chapter 19, verse 29. And it reads, "And it came to pass," we're at Luke 19:29, "and it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he again sent two of his disciples, saying," verse 30, "go into the village over against you, in which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither." So again, in Luke chapter 19, we're looking at one animal. And then it goes on in verse 31, "And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him." Jesus gave his disciples instructions on what to say if they were questioned about taking an animal. "Because of the Lord hath need of them. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosening the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. And they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way." And then it goes on. Well, here's another example, similar or identical in terms of the number of animals to Mark chapter 11. But in Matthew chapter 21, there was one animal in Luke and one animal in Mark and two animals in Matthew. So do we have identical situations or similar situations? So those are the details we have to consider. We could go to John chapter 12, verses 12 through 15, but it only provides a limited amount of information. So in terms of saving time, I'll just start to summarize what we just discussed. So in order to understand the harmony of the Gospels, we need to watch time and place, nouns and pronouns, and in this case, the number of animals that Jesus spoke of and the disciples encountered. Then what we can conclude from this study is that his first entry, and this is stated by some theologians, that Jesus came to cleanse the temple and make his presentation of himself as king of the kingdom. He was showing himself as to who he was for the first time. And it was also at that time he showed righteous anger towards the misuse of the house of God. But in the second time, or the second entry from Mark and Luke and John, it was more triumphal. Jesus' purpose in riding into Jerusalem was to make public his claim to be Israel's Messiah and King. The streets of Jerusalem, the royal city of God, was open to him. And like a king, he ascended to his palace, but not an earthly palace. It was a spiritual one because it was a spiritual kingdom, not of this world for Jesus. He receives the worship and praise of the people because he deserved it as the only begotten Son of God. But it was only short-lived because shortly thereafter, even his disciples turned on him, as we all know. Now, Christ's kingdom is not of this world. He doesn't conquer physical nations, but the hearts and minds of men and women. It's a spiritual thing. His message is one of love and peace. And we as his followers must exhibit the same qualities and let the world see that the true King is living and reigning in us. So that's it for my teaching.
Thanks, Ray.
Can you hear me still? Yep. Okay.
You want to close with prayer?